From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue, across the pond in Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk gaming and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns-Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Stephen McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Croy. I, too, make nice games. For this, our 250th episode, we're going to play some games that were made for us, sorta, by the folks from Game Dev London, who recently held their own Nice Games Jam. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start.
Wow, chef's kiss.
The timing.
Stephen, you remarked on this earlier, but 250, that's a number.
Yeah, it is a number. It's a big number.
We mentioned it like a couple of times leading up to this episode. Uh-huh. We've been on hiatus for a while. And
right.
So this has been looming for longer than most of our numbers loom.
Yeah.
And I think we even said it on the air, like, we've made enough big deals about enough numbers. But now that it's here, it's kind of a big deal.
Well, it's just like, I didn't expect when we started this, oh my gosh, over 5 years ago, right, at this point?
Yeah.
5 years? 250 episodes? That's just a lot. We've been doing this for a long time.
I mean, you don't sound excited.
No, it's just, I'm just surprised at it, I think. You know, I think a lot of people start podcasts and they don't do nearly as successful as we are.
Well, it is kind of interesting. I mean, when we started the podcast, I was already a voracious listener of podcasts. Mm. And there were only a few that had been on for more than 3 or so years because it's a young medium. But a few of them had cracked 5 by then. And a couple of them are at 10 now or more.
Yeah.
And I don't think I conceived of this show in sense of what would look like 5 years later.
Right.
I didn't really think about that.
Yeah.
I didn't intend for it to end sooner than that, but I never really thought about what it would look like in 5 years.
Exactly.
And so, yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. If listeners are more interested in our thoughts on time passing, I think we talk a lot about the same sort of things in our 200th episode.
Yeah.
So you can go back. We do a big old extravaganza there. But we got something else to really take up our time today, which is some stuff from Game Dev London. But we'll get into that in a minute. We have a little bit of timely news to talk about in the meta. Global Game Jam happened last week from where we're sitting, but a couple weeks ago from where you're hearing this. I helped run the Twin Cities branch virtual site.
Good job.
And it went pretty good, but it also meant I didn't really get to make a game.
Yeah.
I worked a little bit on my Playdate game, which was nice because I hadn't touched it in a while. And so getting the SDK back up and running and, you know, fixing the engine that I've been making for it. I had a nice time, but at the end of the weekend, I didn't have anything. And so it felt a little bit, I was expecting it, but it felt a little more of a bummer than I expected it to, I guess. I know, Stephen, you sat this one out.
Right? Yes, I did. I had ambitions to clean my apartment and didn't do that. So.
But what did you do?
What did I do?
Okay, all right.
You relaxed.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Success then.
No, I watched Encanto. That's what I did.
Oh, yeah.
I like that movie.
Did you like it?
Okay. Yeah.
It looked really good.
Yes, it's fun.
It's Pixar,
it's a fun
right?
movie. No, it's not a Pixar movie.
Not Pixar?
It is a Disney animation studios one.
Oh, yeah.
They're actually kind of similar now, so it's hard to tell the
difference.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's a branding thing these days.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But yeah, I recommend it.
Yeah.
A lot of the songs are bops. If you haven't, I'm sure a lot of people have heard the songs on there. So, you know, we don't talk about Bruno and all that. It's one of them.
Okay. I'll have to watch it.
That's the popular one. It's just saying, it's like Let It Go from Frozen. It's more popular than that song.
See, I'm always like, you know, we don't have small kids in my house. And well, I don't have a Steven in my house either. So, like, usually I'm up on the action movies, Eric's up on the rom-coms, and then we just have to catch up on the Disney movies whenever we can. So now I know that we have to watch that one. So we'll try to make time for it.
It's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's good. Yep.
There's always those songs that people say, like, get stuck in your head, like from this movie or Let It Go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Let It Go is a song I've still never heard.
Yes.
Oh.
And I am not avoiding it.
There's no way you have it. Come on.
Or maybe I have it. I didn't realize that's what it was.
Yeah.
But people talk about it as a way like it's impossible to escape. Yeah. And I'm like, is it? I've never heard it.
Yeah. No, I get that. Honestly, I didn't hear what We Don't Talk About Bruno until I watched the movie, and now I hear it all the time.
Okay.
So it's weird that that's the case.
The blue car effect.
Right.
That was my favorite song in that movie. It was a good song, but the song at the end I like better, personally.
Okay,
I don't remember the names.
Now
but
I have to write it. Now I have to watch it because I need to know what these songs are. And also, I wanted to watch it anyway.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, it's kind of weird because it's like if you haven't seen it, it just feels like a thing. It's kind of like with me in Game of Thrones. Like everybody was talking about Game of Thrones when that was a thing.
Yeah.
And I've never seen an episode of that.
Uh-huh.
So like I had no context of what people were talking about.
Right.
People are like, the Red Wedding. Oh, and I'm like,
don't worry about it.
I don't know what just that means.
Look up all the dragon scenes on YouTube and that's what you get.
Okay.
So I'm so
anyways, we so got off track.
About the ending.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're talking about the Global Game Jam.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
I was going to do it, and then I just had some family stuff happen, and I've just been completely drained of
energy. Just super bad timing for you.
Yeah, well, I just have not had a lot of emotional energy left over at the end of every day recently, and that's kind of when that stuff started happening. So I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your plan, insofar that you had one, was to do a little bit of more Godot research.
Yeah. Well,
so you didn't miss out on making a game. You just missed out on some time to work on your game dev journey, really.
Right? Sure. Yeah. I mean, because my plan was, you know, there again, I think I have waxed poetic on the Godot documentation and tutorials that I found so far. My hope was I was going to go find another, like, here, build this tiny game. But then I was going to like take some of it and target some elements of it to make it my own, for the game jam. And I did nothing instead. I did do something, but we'll get to that. I started Dread.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We'll talk about that more next episode.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We've been waiting for so long, but yeah, we'll have to wait one more week to hear about it.
Yeah. Aha.
Anyway. One piece of news that's probably old news by now, but Wordle got bought by the New York Times.
Yes.
And I wanted to put this in the show notes, even though we have a packed episode, because a lot of people reacted very negatively to it in a way that kind of made me upset a little bit.
Mm.
Like Wordle had an interesting journey of like, it had like a, like people loved it, then there was some backlash, and then it got like...
Well, because people kept spamming it on Twitter, and they're still doing it, and it's still annoying. But that's just me.
I mean, it's not hard. Like, it's not hard.
I know
to
you
scroll.
Can. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the minorest of annoyances. Yeah. But
I was thinking like, oh, this game is like it is. It's basically it's a daily version of an old game show that existed. So it's not original idea. It's not exactly the same, but it's very, very close, including them in the color scheme. So I think my initial reaction to it is like, why is everyone falling in love with this thing? It's not a new thing. But then I kind of softened. It was like, well, who cares? Like, right? That what was unique about it is that sort of social engagement, which was not planned, right? It was just something that this guy made for his wife, inspired by the New York Times game section, which does daily games. And then New York Times comes waltzing in and says, here's $1 million.
Right.
And so after it got so popular, he didn't really want to manage it. He never intended to make it a thing he was making.
Yeah.
And I think people were getting really upset. Like, we would have bought it for $2 or something. Why'd you do this instead? And it's kind of frustrating because, like, he gets to decide what he wants to do with his thing.
Oh, yeah. You know? Absolutely. It's his game.
And this whole idea of, like, everyone's thing, there was a lot of a lot of articles written about how there's no ads and you don't log in, and how that's so refreshing in this time and era.
Yeah.
And so I think people were primed because it was presented as this pure, white as the driven snow kind of thing. And then somebody bought it, and then everyone just got really angry about that, like, because they had this idea of what it was. And that, I don't know, that kind of frustrated me a little bit. Even though I was never like a huge booster of it.
Yeah.
And like I've now totally in its corner now because mad people are getting it.
Sure.
Like, oh, it got sold.
Go, if you want to, go buy like a copy of Boggle if you want to sit just like in front of someone on the opposite side of the table and make words out of random letters.
Yeah.
Like just go buy Boggle.
But also, I mean, Wordle is a JavaScript front-end application and the word list is in the open. So it actually isn't. There's a million clones out there, so if you're mad, you can just use one of the clones.
Or just download the website now.
Right, you can download the existing Wordle, and it's archived now.
Yeah.
And it's not what the New York Times bought, right? The New York Times traffics in games that are not unique, right? Like, traffic in games you could play other places.
Yeah.
And so, I it's the perfect home for it, because it has the same kind of notion as, like, Spelling Bee or any of their other non-crossword games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I don't have much more to say about it. Then I just feel like it's another example of like, I mean, this guy isn't a game dev, especially.
Right.
He's a hobbyist developer. He did some stuff that actually went pretty viral on Reddit.
Yeah.
He's been a part of other things that have been noteworthy. But it just reminded me of the whole like hate game devs for doing anything other than whatever gamers want.
And this situation reminded me of the Flappy Bird thing
that
happened a few years ago where, like, you know, somebody got really popular on, they made Flappy Bird and, like, people, and it didn't go well in terms of like, yeah, I guess people on the internet. But I didn't get any impressions of people, like, being mad at the, I mean, we all have different Twitters because we all follow different people.
Yeah.
So it depends on who you're following, I think. But
well, it's mostly it's in the replies to the public things.
Don't read replies.
Well, I mean,
I read replies too.
Also, there were a lot of things written. There was a lot of things written about it.
Oh, sure.
So there were, and because the tone of the coverage up to then had been about how pure and innocent this thing is, a lot of those articles had that same kind of tone. Or like, are you mad that it's going to be a paid? Find these alternatives instead. Or here's why the selling of Wordle is a sign of, you know, blah, blah, blah.
The apocalypse.
Right. Yeah. And there was, it wasn't just randos on Twitter.
Sure. Okay. Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
Gamers. But,
Well, what I was going to say is that, like, what I saw on Twitter was, like, people not being, I mean, people were, like, excited for this dude because, you know, they sold the game for, for $1 million or more, which is huge. And so, like, I don't think anybody was, like, at least from what I saw, people weren't shaming him for that. I think it was more like it felt like it was the only, it felt like the only option he had or something. I don't know. It didn't feel like, I think people were just, like, wishing that there were more options than, like, if you've made something really popular, your only option is to sell it or
sell to some big player
or have to figure out how to manage it yourself.
Right. That's part of it. A lot of people were saying, like, just make your own company and make an app.
Well,
sell it for $4.
What I was going to say is this also happened during the time when we found out that PlayStation bought Bungie.
It was the same day.
It was the same day. So I think all of that kind of stuff was on people's minds.
Yep. It's all contextual.
Yeah. So I think that bar maybe had something to do with all
The New York Times is not Sony Entertainment America.
Like, it's not, no.
You know,
but
they have money and they certainly spent a bit of it. Mm-hmm. But
I think in general people, well, I mean myself included, I don't like that, like, things just start glomming on other things.
Yeah, consolidation is something that we've as a topic. Yeah, but you're right. It got wrapped up.
And that's what I saw on Twitter, and that's what I have an issue with. But I don't have an issue with the person, like, selling the game, because, like, ultimately he's one person, and, like, he's not at fault.
He lives in a society.
Yeah, if I had a game, I can get $1 million off of it. I would heck yeah, I'd sell it.
Also, I think there's, like, a lot of people treat the New York Times like a Microsoft or something. It's like a big household brand that's kind of like, it's the newspaper, so it's kind of, you know. But I think a lot of people don't play New York Times games, and they don't realize what because a lot of people were making it like, oh, there's going to be ads, and it's going to track your, you know, your usage and blah, 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 blah. It's like, New York Times games are like they are the purest expression of, like, video games. They have they're very simple. They have almost nothing to them by way of, like, engagement mechanics.
Yeah, it's very puzzle focused.
Yeah, and so imagine if Zynga bought it, like, you know. Like,
oh god,
I don't know. But also, there. I mean, to be fair, there probably isn't a lot of ways you can monetize Wordle and microtransactions. But people were basically saying like, "Oh, that's what will happen now."
Because
a big company.
I think people might be concerned because they don't want to have to pay a subscription to play Wordle. But I guess, like, you can just play it anywhere else.
Oh yeah. That's true. But I mean, like, that's worth it. Like, I have a subscription to the New York Times, so, like,
I think
it's worth it.
I do not, and thus would not play Wordle. Yeah. So,
I mean, if it gets a single person reading a newspaper, then bully for it.
Yeah.
I know, but you can tell I'm like shutting down every minor quibble you have because
I'm not even.
No, I know. I'm not being fair to you.
Oh,
what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because I do feel very strongly about
this. That's
because
fair.
Like because people take this like ideological stand that where the variables don't matter. You know, like, who is it that sold it? Who is it that bought it? What, under what context? And they just, like, company bought thing equals bad, you know, because that's been something that's been happening lately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a lot of sort of, it's not even naivety, it's, like, ignorance of, like, what the actual facts of the thing was. So that just frustrated me. And it's like, well, I don't know. So many of the things we all get riled up on, ourselves personally as well, are probably, we probably do it in where we are missing a lot of that context.
Yeah.
So it kind of made me think about that too. Like, not just at this example, but like, well, you know, it's actually pretty easy to have a take when you don't have all the opinion or you don't have all the facts.
And that's what Twitter is for.
I think that's just called being grumpy. And
yeah.
It's okay to be grumpy. I get it.
Right. To be fair, we're still in a pandemic. So everybody's grumpy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Yeah, everyone has, they have that, just that enough of excuse, no matter what they're mad about.
Truly, though.
I suppose you can't just, like, go on Twitter and be like, I'm grumpy.
Oh, people do that.
No, they do.
But you don't get a lot of likes for that.
I think you do. I think that's charming.
I'm going to do that right now. I'm tweeting it right now.
Do it.
You'll probably get it very good. because it's relatable.
Yeah.
Like when you don't have, you're not aiming your anger at anybody, people appreciate it because in general, people are good. Like that's, you know, my supposition. So if everyone just responds to you with criticism, then we'll be wrong.
I tweeted it.
Ooh, all right. Here we go. Experiment is active.
All right.
Speaking of experiments.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good transition.
Yes.
So yes, Game Dev London, their chief organizer, Adam, approached me and said, hey, I'm a listener to the Nice Games Club. We've been thinking about doing something like a Nice Games Jam. Would you mind if we used the name? And I mean, like, it's incredibly flattering, for one.
Yeah.
But also, it made a lot of sense. Like, it's something that we should have thought of by now. we should have approached other groups to say, here's our format. We've had a lot of success with it. And it teaches a lot about game dev in a very short amount of time. And it's a great experience for us. And we thank our listeners. And so I don't know why we haven't thought to give it to anyone else.
Hmm.
So I'm very grateful that Adam asked for it.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, enthusiastically said yes, but also we thought, well, we'll participate a little bit. We will provide the prompt for their team. And then he comes back to me and says, you know, we've got two teams who want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do two episodes. And we said, okay, great. So we recorded a little video intro where we provided the prompt. And the prompt we used was?
A real-time card game.
Which is?
A prompt? What? I was prepared for that question.
It's a card game played in real time.
So that was the very first prompt we got.
Yeah.
For our first
yes.
Nice Games Club.
Oh, that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
That is what I was going for.
Okay.
Proof we don't rehearse it. So we did that. And so the two teams, two games, two episodes. That is something we're gonna play those games now.
Yeah.
Is what this episode's gonna be. So we're gonna go over the rules as they've written them, because they did the same thing we do, is try to get all the rules in at the end of their episode. And we're gonna play them. We're gonna talk about their impressions of the process and our impressions of the games. But first, I just want to talk a little bit about Game Dev London and just to explain what their organization is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a community of game devs that's focused on the UK game industry. So not just London, but UK industry. They do events, they host panels, they do live streams, and they provide resources to people. So they're a hub for indie developers, up-and-coming developers, and advocacy for their industry. And they do a podcast, so rotating groups of participants and hosts.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And they do so they do like panels and interviews and, you know, sort of evergreen topics, roundtable style topics, just like we
cool.
do.
Cool. Yeah.
So if you're like, I've listened to all the Nice Games Club episodes.
All 250.
Yeah. And I've had enough of those three people's opinions.
Fair.
I encourage you to check it out. They you know, you can get their podcast on any service you have, but also they do their show on YouTube. So all their episodes are recorded as video streams, so you can see them. And for these Game Jam episodes, it actually was pretty useful. They showed their whiteboarding. They used a Miro board, to document their process. It was really interesting to watch. So we'll definitely put those links in the show notes, so you can watch those episodes yourselves, and look at the rules and see their process. And of course, check out all their other episodes. Okay, now with that out of the way,
mm-hmm.
it's time to play one of these games.
Yeah, let's Woo-hoo. Do it.
Okay, so the first game is called Safecracker. This was
with two exclamation points.
Two exclamation points.
Yeah,
very important.
Important. Yep.
This was put together by a team of Chris, Stu, and Tom, and you can find out more about them when you check out that episode for yourself. Ellen, do you want to go over the notes for their game?
Yeah, so I can tell this was in Miro because I recognize the font. We will definitely link to Miro in the show notes, but it's miro.com, and I use it all the time. It's amazing for everything. Okay, so the first thing I see is co-op question mark, race question mark, PvP question mark. So this must have been when they were talking about like the real timedness of this.
Yeah.
And then I see bank heist, small number of cards, 8 to 10, breaking a cipher.
Oh.
Yeah. So beneath this, I also see, okay, real-time card game. There is the Game Dev London logo. Nice job, you guys. split deck trading co-op race against the clock. So you're working together to break a cipher, and it's timed. That's what I'm seeing here.
Ah.
Okay. Win condition is you match a card with every card in the cipher. The lose condition is you're holding three alarm cards. Well, that's kind of cool. I like that idea.
Yeah, it's interesting watching them put it together, too, because they kept going back and forth. Is this co-op or is this competitive? Because the mechanics they were coming up with worked for both. But they eventually had to make a decision to finish the game.
Yeah.
And we have definitely done that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so below these notes, they actually did have all the full rules out here,
mm-hmm.
Which we can maybe recount, or maybe we should just get into it. What do you think?
Well, we can do both, perhaps.
Okay.
So the first thing in the rules, it says take all the ace cards out of the deck. So we've got a standard deck with our 52 cards. Oh my gosh, it's 52, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's been a week, you guys.
Yeah.
Right.
We're using the French deck.
Using the French deck.
So I won't understand any of it, as usual.
The ace is the one with the one.
Yeah, so they're ones.
That's the ace.
Oh, okay.
In this deck. So we're taking I think the jokers are stay in, right? I don't remember.
Okay, shuffle deck and place pile of cards. Let me see. I'll see if this is.
It doesn't seem like you're supposed to remove the jack.
Doesn't say anything about them. I don't see anything about them.
If it's not supposed to be in there, update your rules. Understandable though. We discovered that one of the first game we made had inaccurate rules on the website. We updated that recently.
It was interesting watching their put together because they, as they were kind of at the end of the episode, write them down.
Yeah.
They had to remember them. And we've definitely done the same thing where we're like, okay, this is definitely it. In a year, we'll come back to this. We'll remember all the things.
Right.
But you do, there are things you don't realize are not obvious that you need to write down and you don't. I'm not sure that they've done that here, but we've definitely done that.
Oh,
yeah.
So we're maybe expecting. Not expecting perfection, I should say.
I think it's one of the biggest challenges in writing games that you play on a tabletop is that you can't just trust the system to capture that for you like you can in a video game.
Yeah.
In a video game, you write the rules, and then it's just in the code, and that's just how the game runs.
Yeah.
But you've got to code your players' brains live when you're playing, and brains are squishy blobs. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so I am laying out eight cards face down on the table in a circle.
Got it, okay.
You can see in our show notes that arrangement, and you'll see, of course, in theirs as well. And that is essentially the lock, and each of these cards is like a tumbler in the lock. That's they hit on this theming really early on, which is really interesting.
Cool.
And then it informed a lot of their decisions.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Which I was really excited about.
Yeah.
A lot of times, especially in tabletop games, that stuff comes later, and then it feels, just tacked on.
Yeah.
Looks like a freaky ritual of some sort.
That's what I was thinking, too.
let us summon the Eldritch Game Dev Gods.
All right. Players draw three cards. I will just hand them to each.
Hey. Okay. Do we get to look at them?
I don't know yet.
Players may turn over any card in the circle at any time to try and match the card from their hand with the suit or number of the card.
Yeah, so I assume you have to look at the ones in your hand because how else would you match?
That's true.
Oh, I got to put the aces back in the deck before I hand out the cards.
Oh, okay. Here, should we reshuffle?
Yes, we will have
to. All right.
Okay, gotcha. So the aces are ones. That must be the alarm card.
This is kind of fun.
Probably.
Learning this game live.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got eight cards on the table and Marcus shuffling the decks, shuffling the aces back into the deck, and then we each have three cards, and we probably look at them. You turn over any card in the circle at any time and try to match a card from your hand with the suite or number of the card. So if you turn over an ace and you have an ace, you got to match. If you turn over a spade and you got a spade, you got to match. If you turn over a three and you've got another three, even if they're different colors, then you still have a match.
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. Okay.
If you match one, they leave their card face up on top of it, signaling that they've cracked that part of the lock. They cannot match either number or suit. They must leave one of the cards face down on the card they couldn't match. Oh, and the lock changes? Oh, but you know what the lock is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you as a... I'm assuming that, like...
Can you communicate that to other people?
That's my question. If I fail to match... Then I place a card down face down on the one that I turned over, and that becomes the new part of the lock.
Right.
Like, do I get to communicate what my card that I placed down face down was? I guess not.
I think you can at any point say what's in your hand, so you can say I'm putting this card down.
So, like, could I have... Oh, I see. But you don't... Like, theoretically, could I just reveal my cards to everyone right now? Or does that break the game?
I think so.
That breaks the game.
I don't know if it does. But the thing is, I don't know if you guys saw this part. There's a 5-minute timer.
Okay.
Disagree.
So you could probably hand all your cards to Steven and be like, Steven, solve the game for us. But like, and you got 5 minutes. You got to work
being
together.
I'm in a fetal position, scared out of my mind.
Well, we're not going to do that to you, Steven.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I've got a timer up.
Okay.
So I will, I'll set it when it's ready to go. No, we're not quite ready.
No, okay. So once all the locks are cracked, the players win. Yay. Mm-hmm. Yay. That's the goal. We want to win. We like winning. However, if they run out of the cards from the center pile, which is here, you guys can't see it, but we can. I'm pointing to it. Then they lose. Okay, so got it. We have 5 minutes to unlock all 8. And if you draw an ace from any suite, you must keep it in front of you, in front of them, which that's you. You have to keep it in front of you, and you cannot discard it. These ace cards are the alarm cards. And if any one player collects 3 alarm cards, they are out.
I see.
And... yeah.
And I guess they and their hand are out.
Yeah, they and their hand are out.
I guess so.
So you're down to only having 2 safe crackers.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
So one of the real-time component, when we did this originally, we were worried about the real-time being a matter of, like, how do we make sure that everyone gets their turn?
Yeah.
And we have a solution for that. But what's interesting here is that the real-time element here is uses a timer to stress us. It doesn't matter if any of us get enough turns. It's just a matter that there's 3 of us, so there more actions can happen per second, and that's the utility of it. A pretty interesting approach.
Okay, so I if I'm understanding this correctly, we're supposed to have 3 cards in our hand at all times.
Yeah, right? That's okay. The one thing I didn't see.
It doesn't say that in the rules, but that's
I imagine that is the case.
Yeah, that's when do you draw?
I think whenever you place a card, whenever you don't have 3 cards in your hand.
Right. So whenever you unlock or whenever you replace one of the tumblers with a new card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm already thinking how this would be really, really cool to incorporate as like a mini game within a D&D campaign. I'm not sure how we would do it, but it sounds, I don't
that
know.
Is fun.
I'm going to find out a way.
Yeah.
Like okay.
What I like about this is that you, yeah, so the memorization is, the memory is part of it. So when I look at a thing, well, it's interesting because I look at a thing and I can't match it. Right. So I have to put one of my cards down on it.
Yes.
And then I think I should be able to tell you guys, because then that provides you with you remember what it is so that you know when to look at it.
Right.
Right? Otherwise, I don't think that... otherwise, it wouldn't really help us in any way.
Well, you...
it would just be random the whole time.
I mean, you as a player would know what you put down there. So you could do it. But, like, interesting if...
It is random all the time. Because even if you know what it's there, it doesn't really help you.
Potentially.
Well, when you draw a card, a matching card...
Yeah,
you
just
gotta,
that's true.
So you got to sort of keep in your active memory as many of them as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's decide for ourselves.
I'm gonna be bad at this. Yeah.
We may or may not be following the intended rules, but... should we only reveal, we should not reveal to others what we find?
I think we should reveal it only because this is a podcast.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right. Are we ready to go?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I'm going to start the clock.
Okay. I'm going to just go ahead and flip one of these.
Grab this one and flip it.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Right,
I'm grabbing one.
This is a 10 of some thingy. I don't remember what the other one
okay.
was. Okay. Oh, I got an ace.
I'm 4 here.
I'm putting down a 2 of spades on a tumbler.
I got this.
That's good.
I got this.
And... because I have another.
Right.
Oh, okay, fine.
Oh, okay. Oh, did you get a 2? Oh, I got another ace. What the heck?
Oh, 2 alarm cards.
Okay,
you.
So I unlocked this
another
one.
Tumbler.
I just did it in a funky order.
And okay. I've got a diamond.
We got a king unlocked.
Well, that was a 10.
I unlocked one Louis with a different Louis.
Oh, I didn't get
that. I just drew the rules card. I'm going to set that aside.
Yeah. Okay. This is a 5.
Okay.
Oops, I'm not. This is wrong.
This
I'm
one's
sorry.
A 4 here.
I've got all clubs, so if anyone finds a club, let me know.
Oh, here's another rules card.
Oh, great. All right, I'm looking at a thing here. And
This is a V. I don't remember which one of the Vs.
All right, I'm putting out a 3 of clubs.
There's a 6
here.
Of 3
of clubs.
Here.
Six.
Oh, okay. I'm going to take a look at that.
And I'm going to take a look at this guy.
And I have a 6 of clubs, so I can unlock it.
And I unlock this with a different
okay.
cardinal.
Oh, okay. I don't... what's this one?
That one's a...
I just drew an alarm.
Heck!
So there's...
This is a 5. Oh, wait. Never mind. I have the right suit.
Oh, okay.
Yay! Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
Hit me.
Take a peek at
I feel
this
like I'm,
one.
I'm jumping over everyone's...
I forgot what it was, but there we go. All right. With 1 tumbler left to
him. Yeah, that was a 10.
Oh, I have a 10. So I'm going to Take a peek. Match my 10. Bang.
Success.
All right. We done it.
Yeah. What's in the safe?
More cards.
More, yeah.
More cards.
Just more aces.
A bunch of French royalty.
Yeah.
So one of the things I know they were talking about is like is the timer the right amount of time?
Yeah.
And we still have a 3.5 minutes left.
Oh, why?
But we do multiple rounds, right?
Do we?
Do we?
Yeah, we do. Or am I thinking of I'm thinking of the other game.
Oh, okay.
So this is you guys want to try again and see if it takes us at the same amount of time?
Yeah, I'm curious to see if it'll do.
That variability is interesting.
Sure.
We did lose some seconds pulling the rules cards out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. That's true.
Let's get the aces out again.
All right. I have one here.
Two aces.
And we'll. We can maybe cut this part out of the show. Or maybe not.
No, I'm making fun sounds.
Oh, fun sounds. Cool.
Beep, boop, beep, beep, beep.
Here's the other ace. All right.
Oh, gosh.
I do like that the you're not motivated to just as soon as possible peak. There's a tension involved.
Yeah.
There's a cost. And even though you don't really know a lot of information.
Right.
Right.
Like, even if we're, and I don't think we were doing a ton of communicating.
Yeah.
No, it ultimately wasn't that necessary, perhaps. But I know that I had some cards in my hand. I was thinking, okay, should I grab one to see? You know what I mean?
Like, I was thinking that too.
That tension is good because it prevents it from being too chaotic.
It felt to me very chaotic. Not in a bad way.
Right, but like, this is the kind of thing, these cards are pretty slippery, for example.
They are.
Like, this is the kind of game that could be literally become a literal mess on the table.
Yeah.
If everyone's hands are flying around.
Yes.
So it seems as though they avoid that by virtue of the way that the player motivations.
I really like that because I'm not a locks picker.
Yeah.
But I do watch Lock Picking Lawyer sometimes. And it definitely seems like something where you have to make very deliberate hand motions.
Uh-huh.
And we're having, like, they're capturing that a little bit.
That is interesting. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Which wasn't part of, like, the challenge that we gave them. It wasn't part of the prompts, but, great theming.
What does a lawyer need with lockpicking?
Well, we'll put this in the show notes.
Lockpicking.
Okay. So, yeah.
Everyone needs a hobby.
All right, fair. But, all right. I guess we'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, so I put 8. No, I don't put them face up.
Right.
That ruins the game.
Yep.
Cool. We'll shuffle that again.
So we did a minute and 35.
Okay.
Was what we got it last time. So see if we can beat that score.
So while I'm dealing this, I have a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is ice cream okay in the winter?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's fine. It's dessert.
Okay. All
right. Is that a controversial opinion?
I just thought it would engender a little bit more conversation.
Oh, I think it depends on where you're living. Because here in Minnesota, that might be controversial because it's cold.
See, but I feel the opposite. I feel like people who don't have winters probably think it's a bad idea because they never have gone a whole winter without eating ice cream.
Yeah.
How do you get through winter without eating ice cream?
Yeah, you don't just lock off half of the world to you just because it's a bad idea. Like,
Yeah.
That's why we go outside in the winter still. Like, mm-hmm. We shouldn't, but what are we going to not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And just to be clear, I don't eat ice cream outside in the winter. That seems tough.
No, that's
silly.
That's
I wouldn't even call that off. Like, if you want to, go for it.
Ice cream's a great.
Don't get a side eye from me.
It's true. The reason I'm asking is because I had ice cream last night, so it's on my mind.
Uh huh.
But, and today I'm thinking, I don't really want ice cream, but I could totally go for some hot cocoa.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tea in the winter. Okay, tea in the summer.
Tea. Tea anytime.
Yeah, tea anytime.
Hot tea in the summer?
Well, yeah, hot tea in the summer. I guess that's fair. It is cold tea. I meant hot tea. Yeah. There's iced in.
Okay. And then everyone gets 3 cards.
Yes.
Yes.
That's your first card.
Thank you.
I have shorter arms than y'all.
Uh-huh. Now here's so Ellen is handing us 1 card at a time, but she's already sufficiently shuffled.
Uh-huh.
So, but this, people do have opinions about this.
Yeah.
You deal hands to people. Do you just deal them 5 cards in poker, or do you 1 at a time?
You're supposed to do 1
supposed to do 1 at a time.
But, like, why? It's
because,
not more random.
Because I think it's because due to the fact that, like, we're grouping cards up when we finish a game, we've grouped some cards up together in a certain way. If you split them up like that, then the cards that did not get unshuffled due to your shuffling.
Right, but that
split up.
That presupposes that Ellen didn't do her job shuffling.
No,
I believe in Ellen.
I don't think that Ellen did a poor job shuffling. I think that just
what it sounds like to me.
Due to the nature of how shuffling works, this is to prevent that from being an issue.
See,
that's my understanding.
I first learned card games, like, with people playing poker. And
yeah.
And we're like,
you
know, you do not do that because you might be cheating. And I'm like, I'm 7. How
See, that's
am
what
I
it
cheating?
Is. I feel like it's a casino thing.
Oh.
Probably.
It's to ensure a certain amount of that. But to me, it feels like if you trust that the person shuffling is shuffling, you shouldn't have to.
I trust that the person is shuffling, but I don't trust physics enough for that to prevent it.
That's my logic. Answer. Yeah. And my other answer is, now that I know you guys trust me, I'm going to learn how to cheat.
Oh, yeah.
See?
I really should have saw that coming.
Yeah.
That's not true. I won't.
Okay. No. All right. 5 minutes starts now.
Okay.
Okay. Looking at this card.
And I'm looking at a thing.
Wow, look, a seven.
Oh, I've got a thing.
Ooh, and
a
I match have one.
Boop. Success. Go. Draw a card.
All right.
Wow.
I'm going to look at another one here.
What's this one here?
And, oh, dang. I'm doing pretty good there.
Diamonds, but I have a diamond.
This is a V of diamond.
This one is.
Okay. V of diamonds.
Yeah, I feel like we're not diamond. Supposed to communicate because it makes the game a lot easier.
Okay, I've got a diamond.
All right.
Wait.
This one is a heart, but I'm going to do... I have a heart. So
wait, can't
to...
you just place a card that you have matched and then just match up with that card?
That's what I'm doing.
Oh, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to do
that's
that.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
Doesn't
so
matter.
That one took us 39 seconds.
Okay.
All right.
What if we didn't share what we have, like the information?
Now that I know that.
You know, I don't know how much that even helped us.
Right. I mean, it helped a little bit. But I know that there's an exploit where you can just, if you have two that you can match up, you just place one down and place the other one down.
Yeah, I did that both times where I had two of two spades or two hearts or whatever, and yeah. I drew something and I just gave it a spade and then I knew I had the other spade.
Right.
And that's not against the rules.
Yeah.
But I don't know how we could make it not against, make it against
right.
the rules. Right?
It would work if you had to take a card from the deck and put it down instead of a card from your hand, you know?
Yeah. But then how...
Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but having cards in your hand helps you because it lets you strategize more than one action.
Yeah, that's true.
So...
Right, you lose out on... Yeah, it makes the game a lot more random, pure random almost. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, something like this could be a case of like... Would this game be fun to try to do in 20 seconds?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because then the rules as is kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that timer is meant to be a worry,
yeah.
then I think something would have to be refined a little bit in terms of how that's played.
Yeah. Or maybe just more cards.
Yeah, that could be it.
Eight
right?
isn't enough.
That's one of the conversations both teams had, which is just like, we're dealing with a 52-card standard deck.
Mm-hmm.
If we develop this further, we'd probably make our own cards with our own distributions.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think when we've done that, we've tried to gear our design towards a 52-card deck.
Yeah.
Instead of try to pretend that we'll be able to change that later.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think but that also is constraining in a way that's artificial. So I appreciate those discussions because we've had those exact discussions.
Yeah.
And that's something that would benefit this. Instead of having to change the rule, yeah, just changing the card distribution mm-hmm. would do it.
Right.
Having more suits or the same amount of suits as numbers, perhaps, then you'd have less of a... The suits are really what makes it a little bit too easy.
Yeah.
There's only four of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, less options to get it to work would be better.
Yeah. Or it could be a case of like having to... If you do a suit, it has to be a number higher or something.
Ooh, yeah.
So you could still kind of do it, but you have to do some thinking. So it would be more time.
Mm-hmm.
I like that too.
Yeah.
A lot of options. This is cool though. I like this.
Well, we're not here to work on this game.
Right, right, right.
Really,
not our job.
Whenever you play test something in progress, you always want to give some notes to the designer.
Yeah.
So
I don't. They sometimes don't appreciate that. Yeah. So.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you can propose solutions, but really what you're giving the developer is a problem to solve.
Yep.
They can solve it however they want.
Yes.
And if you give them a suggestion, they can do that, but whatever.
Yeah.
The key is that you're giving them a problem to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we're doing that here. So do you want to do one more round or do you want to move to the next game?
We can move to the next game.
Okay. Yeah, I think we should move
to the next game. This was fun, though.
It's really strong. And even the table layout where it's like you reach across the table eventually, but you start with the ones in front of you.
Yeah.
And I think that's nice because it reduces the potential of chaos at the start.
Yeah.
So there's so much about it that is it's very good and really it fits with the spirit of the prompt.
Yeah.
And that's really, really exciting. Yeah. They were able to do that and get the theme tie in so nice. And that idea that co-op is something where like you want to communicate with other people, but you also don't have time to do it perfectly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Which is very much like a bunch of thieves in the bank vault.
Yeah.
Problems they have.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's brilliant.
You know, it reminds me only a little bit of The Crew, which is a fantastic tabletop game that's cooperative, and it's like a trick-taking card game. The difference is it usually takes a lot longer to get through a round.
Yeah.
And I can imagine how you could start with like a simple lock and then you could get things more complex and have to solve more and more complex puzzles using the same fundamental mechanics of drawing and unlocking and like solving the cipher. That'd be fun. And we're also not here to do that, but couldn't help myself.
So, if you enjoy watching us play Nice Games Jams, and you've enjoyed watching Game Devs London making new games, you can also enjoy us making games through our previous episodes of Nice Games Jams. They're great. Exciting stuff. So you can watch us actually use this exact prompt that we gave them, and we didn't just give it to them this way because we're lazy. It's because it was a fun idea.
Yeah, all our episodes are on nicegames.club, and you can go back and browse by topic, or you know, or just search for subjects that interest you. And if they're in our notes, those episodes will pop up. But I think it's a right now we should really recommend our first Nice Games Jam.
Yeah,
where yourself, Martha, and I did this exact prompt.
Yeah,
and we made Pass Some Laughs, or otherwise known as Haha.
Yeah,
which is a very different game to the two we're playing today.
Yes,
that's so cool.
Right, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Also, the notes are updated because the rules are inaccurate, so they are accurate now.
Steven has fixed our years old. rules, yeah.
Oh, thank goodness for that. So yeah, check us out at nicegames.club.
You definitely had like late night radio host vibes at the end there.
Yeah.
Check us out, nicegames.club.
Check us out at nicegames.club.
Whoa.
Mark swoons.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so our second game from our second team of Adam, Oscar, and Katie is called Adventurer Please, and it's a storytelling game.
Oh!
It's like an improv storytelling game. So what's interesting is we've done one of those as a Nice Games Jam, and so it's interesting because of how like how hard it is to do one of those.
Yeah, it is.
But I think part of it is because as I was watching this episode, Oscar immediately when they started is like, I'm just going to end up doing GM stuff because he's a tabletop RPG guy. And so it ended, he did definitely pushed them in that direction. And I think what they came with something pretty interesting.
Okay.
So let's get to it, right? So let's look at these rules.
Okay, each player, 2 to 4, takes gets 3 tokens to interrupt each other. Ooh. Deal each player 13 cards. Okay.
Do we have things we can use as tokens?
I believe I can dig around in this drawer.
Are the jokers still in here?
We have the play. We have the prototyping decks out in the main room, if we need tokens from there. But those look excellent. Mark is pulling out some cable management stickies. You're pulling out. Oh yeah, we each need 3.
Right.
So we need that.
Oh, cool. 9.
Right? These will be fun.
Yeah. Okay.
I want this big one.
You can have 2 of
them. No, that seems unfair.
Y'all just give me one. I don't grind either.
There you go.
They can be small. Mine. This one has 3 little notches for the cables. That one only has 2. So it's still bigger.
It only counts for 1, though, in this game.
Yeah, but you know, the emotional impact of getting the 3B out there.
Yeah, it's a bigger interrupt.
So this game is also played with a deck of cards, but on top of that, a couple of tokens for each player, a trio of them.
Deal each player 13 cards.
Yep, I'm working on it.
Yeah, 1 at a time he's doing.
Right, this is the nice way you're job. Supposed to do it.
Nice job. Thank you for not cheating, Steven.
You're welcome, Ellen. I didn't even think of it as a cheating thing. I was literally just going, like, logically, this is how it would be the best way to split up cards.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably related ideas.
I mean, that's the optimist way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I think avoiding people
cheating. I will say this is not part of my argument against this.
Yeah.
My argument against this is it's unnecessary. But I have definitely been in a case where when I'm dealing to 2 people, when I do the shuffle, then dealing back and forth unshuffles them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
if,
fair.
If you're a little.
Yeah, when it's just two people, it's.
Can I do something completely useless and stupid?
Please.
On the air. I want to trade this two pronged interrupt token for your one pronged interrupt token. So I have 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, you can do that.
Thank you.
Well, I have that too, kind of.
Nice.
Okay, I have 2 2s and a 1.
Well, that means nothing.
It means literally nothing in this context.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't care either way, really.
Okay.
I love how they're all different shapes too.
This is unexpectedly pleasing to everyone.
Yeah. Each player has to play cards sequentially from their hand until the story using the numbers and suit designations. Okay. You can customize these, but we use these wizards as spades, clerics as hearts. Thieves are diamonds and fighters are clubs. Did I do that right? I always get clubs and spades confused.
No, you got it.
Okay. Yeah. If a player doesn't include the number or stay on topic per the story, they lose an interrupt token. What? Any player can interrupt them by playing an interrupt token. You can end a round by playing the last card of a suit in your hand and state the end as soon as you begin the last part of your
story. No, it's in the end. So it's,
oh,
it's
in the end.
It's how you start your part of the story.
Okay, there, okay.
In Thank the end, and then that way everyone knows that this is the last piece.
Okay, got it. The player who has the last card gets a point for each card of the same suit that as the last card they played in the timeline. Got it. So I guess your goal ultimately is to play as many cards of the same suit as you can.
Right.
But you may not. You may find that somebody else has played a bunch of diamonds and you have the king of diamonds.
Oh. Oh yeah, last card is the king, not ace.
Well,
those aren't high.
It doesn't really matter. It's whatever your last card of it is. So if you have a high, numbered card, but don't have a lot of other cards of that suit, you will want to hope other people play that suit, so that you, when you play yours, which you could play at any time because it's the highest of that in your hand, there are more potential points to win. Or if you have a bunch of cards of the same suit in your hand, you want to play a lot of those, to make sure that you get those points.
Right.
I think that's the kind of that's the tension. Is that you don't always know what you're going for until the story starts playing out or the
action
starts playing out.
Okay.
Okay, and since there are 3 of us, you multiply that by 2, and that is the number of rounds you should play. So we should play 6 rounds, and a round doesn't mean anything in terms of how many loops are on the table. A round is how many stories you tell.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So now the thing that I'm unclear on is these 4 suits are wizard, cleric, thieves, fighters.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever we want them to be.
Right. Does that mean that has to be what we talk about?
I believe so.
Yeah. There are protagonists.
Okay.
That's how I was reading it.
All right. So this is our hand, so we can look at it.
It's a lot of,
even though it's 13 cards.
It's a lot of cards.
And I suppose we'd want to sort it in our hand by suit.
Are these French wizards and French clerics?
I guess so.
I don't know.
Are aces high or low? Because in our head deck, they're ones.
Right. Oh, actually, then they should be low.
Let's just make them low. Yeah.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there, but for our sake.
Yeah. How do you determine who goes first? I guess it's just randomly decide.
You can go first.
Okay. That was not my intention.
I mean,
but all right,
how I'll
strategically.
How
I'll just go. Ellen all right.
Says.
Well, give me. I gotta sort my hands.
Yeah.
First.
All right, we gotta sort. I didn't even think about
you
that. I was just like, let's go.
I mean, you could play like you could. You can choose violence, but...
All right. I'm just going to choose violence. wizards, they are... There's a lot of them, and they live on an island.
Oh, see, you're already messing up because there need to be 2 wizards.
No, I have to do... Oh.
You have to include the number in your part
somehow,
of the story.
Yeah, somehow... That...
They live on 2 islands.
Ah, okay.
They live on 2 islands.
There are 2 islands with wizards on them.
There are 2 islands with wizards on them. And so I just keep going?
No. Yeah, and we can play. Anyone can play any number higher than that of any suit. I think is how.
Okay.
It is, right. Oh no! Someone has to place a 3 because you just placed a 2.
Oh.
That's the sequentially bit.
Oh, it has to be sequential.
I believe so. So you can.
Oh, it does say that each player has to play a card sequentially.
I'm also relying a little bit on my memory of watching the episode. I believe,
sure, but that makes
the only valid move is a 3.
Oh, I should have used this ace. Dang it! I didn't see the ace. Okay. That's why I didn't shuffle. This is what happens when you don't shuffle.
Right.
Yeah.
You chose violence.
I did. That's what I get. All right. 3 fighters approached these islands on their boat, and they're like, how you doing, wizards?
Suspicious.
four wizards approach the fighters, and they're like, "Why are you here on our islands? We like it nice and isolated, and we're trying to practice magic."
And then they, the fighters were like, "Surprise!" And they hit each of the wizards five times.
Each of them five times.
Dang. Each of them, yeah.
Dang.
Wait, doesn't that have to be about thieves?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, five. That's dire.
Suddenly there's thieves now. See, this
maybe the fighters can be thieves too. I don't know.
Okay, they stole five things.
Yes, yeah. I like it. Six clerics come in and have to deal with all this mess and start. Oh wait, no, they were stolen. They're also investigators. These clerics, so they're investigating this theft, and. I'm gonna just give one card.
Yeah.
As the clock struck seven, the fighter struck again, and
so, I'm gonna interrupt you now and use a token and say no. In fact, it was actually the clock struck eight. In fact,
eight.
And and at the moment that it did, the clerics, who I've forgotten anything about,
okay,
were like, "Oh dang, we got to get going. It's."
It's getting late, you know.
Yeah.
I do have a name. And so then they leave for their dinner party at nine, these clerics.
And when they left, they realized that 10 of their shoes were missing.
10 of them? Gasp.
I'm not even sure how many were there.
Which ones?
How many shoes would they have?
We're using the French deck, which is a jack.
It's this one, the V.
Okay.
And I don't know what we're supposed to do for face cards. I maybe we can do whatever we want.
Was there something we're supposed to do for those? Oh, because of the numbers.
The number, yeah. I mean, maybe there's supposed to be a jack, queen, or king involved.
Yeah, okay.
So let's just say that much anyway.
Sure, the jack of fighters.
So the fighter, who is also a thief, we know.
Right, yes.
But because he's the jack of all abilities, he in fact can do whatever he wants.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Nice.
And so he, you know, takes those 10 shoes.
Yeah.
You know, abandoning all the other, clerics or whichever he is.
Well, he's a thief.
He heads back to the shore.
And I'm going to interrupt.
Okay.
And turns out that the queen of the wizards doesn't like any of these people and just wants them out of these two islands. So she requests, because she's polite. She requests that these fighters leave the islands. Oh, I got interrupted. Okay.
Yep. She requests that the fighters leave the island. So the king of the thieves comes to help, and steals all the fighters, kidnaps them all, and runs away at the end.
Okay.
So, wait, no, is it in the end?
Well, that has to be your last. There's no aces in this deck. So they're ones. So that would be the last of your suit.
You did say in the end, so it worked out.
Well, I said the end at the end.
Yeah.
I didn't say in the end, the king of thieves.
We'll give it to you.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. Close enough.
All right, so Ellen, that is your deck. So you get as many points as there are diamonds in that stack.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There weren't that many diamonds. Oh, no, there were that many diamonds. Thieves.
We were also stacking cards on top of each other, so we weren't really watching the deck.
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to lay them out, you know, kind of fan them out.
So I kind of like it stacked, just so you don't, in the heat of the moment.
So you kind of don't know?
Well, it just encourages
you. Lose the ability to be strategic.
Also, it just encourages you to memorize it, and I hate that, so yeah. Never mind.
There were three diamonds in this deck.
One of the things I was noticing is I was playing, suddenly a bunch of cards in my hand became unusable.
Yeah.
Because they fall behind the number.
Right.
And I wonder if there's a way, I should probably just be putting them down in front of me because I know they're not going to use them. But then that will take time away from the game.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I got three diamonds, so I got 3 points.
Do we get our interrupts back?
I imagine so.
Okay.
Actually, maybe not.
I don't know. Anybody can interrupt. How did you lose an interrupt token? Oh, if a player doesn't include the number. Oh, so if you do it wrong, then you lose an interrupt token.
That's the idea.
And we didn't do it this time because we didn't.
Adjudicating that feels a little tricky, so I think we're just going to have to trust each other on that.
Yep.
These cards go away?
I think so.
We keep our.
You should keep the three that you got points for, though, just so we know how many points you
got. Got it.
Oh, I don't think there's a mechanism for that. I think you just write down on a piece of paper how many points you got. But I kind of like the idea that now those cards are out of the game.
Oh.
Wait, so we're supposed to redistribute these?
We did. We played a new round, so we're just shuffling a new 13.
I see. Okay, that does make sense.
Well, I don't think we should take them out of the game because I don't think that's in there. But
that's not in there, but I think that would be an interesting rule.
Yeah.
Okay. To remove them from the deck, because then you'd know in future rounds that, like, the queen of diamonds is the highest queen.
Right.
Okay, so I have a couple ideas.
Yes.
Yes.
One, we are going to get our interrupt tokens back. Is that how this works?
I believe so.
Okay. These cards are really stiff.
Yeah. I do like the idea that you wouldn't, that that's for the whole game. But I don't think that's what the spirit of it is. I might actually be wrong about that.
So my other idea then is we can take our things back.
Yes.
And the other idea I have is we should come up with different nouns. We have wizards, clerics, thieves, and fighters. But for our second round, I feel like we should have different nouns.
Right.
Okay.
This is one of those things that one of the developers at the end was saying, oh, we could have themed add-on decks or, you know.
Yeah.
And certainly the card itself would have information on it that would help you tell the story, right?
Okay.
That there are five thieves on this card or whatever. So what should our four things?
Okay, I know that it's going to be really easy for y'all to do this, but I'm going to veto Star Trek right now.
No!
Come on, Steven.
Steven.
Fine.
Romulans.
We've been
my gosh.
Good.
Engineers.
We've been so good lately.
We've been on hiatus lately, so that's part of it. But we've been so good.
Fine. Shush. Don't tell the listeners that.
Steven, I'm wearing my Beverly Crusher t-shirt right now.
Look, she is.
You wouldn't do this to me on such a day.
Fine. Okay. What are the things? Somebody tell the things. Okay. Federation's one of them.
By federations? No.
No. What?
You've watched... Okay, you have to have like choose a species or a ship type.
Yeah, or like Starfleet officers or
red shirts.
Well, then y'all come up with them.
We just did.
Red shirts.
Red shirts, engineers.
Okay. I mean, these are just
this is
careers,
gonna be all...
so I'm
Yeah, but that's good because then we're not going to put Romulans in here. We're just going to have all on it. So this is going to be some adventure on the ship.
Yeah, science is one, right?
Yeah, science officers.
Yep.
This is why I don't talk about it on the show, because y'all know way too much about it than I do. And Ferengi.
Now here's the thing. They don't have to be people, right? They could be, you know, any noun, right?
So it could
be...
Phasers.
It
could be explosions.
Ooh, wait.
Plasma. Plasma.
Plasma leaks.
Plasma core. Yeah, warp cores.
The queen of plasma.
Borgs. Yeah. Borg drones.
Yeah.
Jeffrey's tubes.
No, do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to do it. Yeah. This is going to make zero sense, you guys. All right. I'm going to throw a bone to Mark and deal two cards.
I mean, you could tell any kind of story. It could be a ship breakdown story. It could be a what if we kissed in the Jeffrey's tube kind of story.
Oh, wow. Yeah. 10 science officers showed up at the Jeffrey's tubes just looking to make out.
So this is funny to me. It's Stephen wrote Jeffrey's as in belonging to Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Jeffrey's tubes.
Jeffrey owns the tubes. Is that how it's spelled?
No, it's Jeffrey's tubes. Jeffrey's is like the name of a person.
Jeffrey's.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I always imagine it as the plural of Jeffrey's.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jeffrey's is tubes.
Yeah. Did I mess up the dealing here? I probably did. Count your cards. This is what happens when you try to do two at once.
Uh-huh.
I have 16 cards.
I have 19 cards.
How do we have so many cards?
Because we're supposed to separate it into 13, but there's 52 cards in a deck. So, and there's only three of us. So we get more cards than that.
Whatever.
Well, okay, hold on. I'm just going to get rid of it. I have 16, so I'm just going to get rid of these things. Okay, problem resolved. All right. This time I'm going to organize. Also, maybe someone should start with an ace, because I I didn't do that. I didn't realize I had an ace. Mm-hmm.
So should we these up a little bit?
One of the things that's interesting about this is I try to use my interrupt token, but I felt obligated to do it. Like I don't really want to. I kind of want to hear what someone has to say.
Yeah.
I also don't know the interrupt token. Is it a because when I was watching the episode, it kind of did it both ways, which is you can interrupt and continue on, mm-hmm. or you can interrupt and say, no, that's not what happened. This happened instead.
Oh, so you can put more cards down?
Well, that's the question. I don't know if I interrupt with the next in the sequence or if I interrupt with the same in the sequence.
Yeah.
I actually don't know what the rule on that is.
Gotcha.
Because it's not specified here. But I feel like the interrupt would make sense if it was, oh, no, I was going to play it 8, but they played it. So I'm going to use one of my rare tokens, but I need to come up with something for eight as you're talking.
Yeah.
So I feel like that should be how it works.
I agree.
I don't know that it is, but I would imagine we should play that way, right?
You should steal the so your interrupt token allows you to steal the number.
Wait, can you interrupt yourself? It says any player can interrupt.
Can you interrupt yourself?
I think the spirit of the rules are that you interrupt somebody else.
Yeah. I think the spirit of the rules suggests that I can put more cards out.
Competitive Steven. Just okay. Reliable right. As the morning sun.
Yeah, all right, fine. We don't have to do it that way. I kind of like that, though. It's just you being interrupting yourself and you like combo. That's great.
Just lay down a bunch of them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that ultimately would be good for you because they'll be of different suits. So it like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it'd be funny.
Well, I have a killer poker hand, but I'm not sure if it actually works for this one.
I think killer poker hands, I doubt they help you here.
I don't think they do.
We haven't tested enough to be sure.
I feel like I can dominate the plot, but yeah. It won't actually get me.
Let's also try to lay the cards out in sequence.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
There's a lot to keep track of in this game.
Right.
I think I might argue a little bit too much, but I think we should definitely be able to see that so we can decide strategically what to play.
Are we ready? Shirts are the ones that get killed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We didn't make the one of the red suits, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
All right. I'm just going to start then.
Okay.
Two red shirts were walking down their rounds, which involved going through three Jeffrey's tubes to find a strange anomaly that's been popping up.
Strange anomaly.
They were joined by two more red shirts, giving us a total of four.
Seems pretty good. And because there were now four of them, they could now expand their search to five different Jeffrey's tubes. But they still couldn't figure out what the problem was.
So they decided to go explore a sixth Jeffrey's tube.
And they were like, that's not good enough. There's one more Jeffrey's tube we got to check. Seven tubes. And still, nothing.
But the engineers
No, I'm sorry. It's not that. It's that there was actually eight Jeffrey's tubes, ultimately, that they ended up doing.
No, it wasn't that. It was because they had eight red shirts that they were able to do so many searches.
Of course. That makes sense,
Steven, can you pass me that token? Yeah. Put it back in the middle. I threw it across the table.
Oh,
and of course, the chief science officer who'd been on the ship for 9 years had never seen anything like this ever before. And it's like, guys, you got to figure it out. You've had all day. Which tube is it in, guys?
Turns out there are actually 10 Jeffrey's tubes. they didn't look thoroughly enough. Even the officer who was there for 9 years didn't realize.
And then turns out inside the Jeffrey's tubes, they found Jack, who is like, who's, you know, causing trouble again.
Oh.
In the end, they put him in the brig.
Chief Science. Nope.
I'm sorry. That's in the end.
You did say that.
Because it's my last of
No! All right, fine.
Oh, right. Okay. So you can't end the story unless it's the last of your suit.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, I'm bad at this.
It makes a lot of sense when you know what you're talking about.
That's why I had such a hard time.
It went a lot better than last time with the clerics and so on. Also, it was actually helpful, even though we just had the Jeffrey's tubes. It was helpful to have something more than just people or types of people.
Yeah, that's true.
That was actually very useful because you could sort of interrelate it, you know?
That's true.
You know what we did not do is fan out the cards.
We did not do
that. Oh, yeah.
I think it's hard to do that. So when they were playing this in the episode, they were using an online sharing, like a sort of a tabletop simulator thing. Very simple, just for card games.
Yep.
And I think it was probably a little easier for them to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's harder for us in real time to do it. Very naturally just want to stack it on top.
Yeah, especially when you're interrupting someone. You're like, nope, not your five, my five.
So you
get points for all the Jeffrey's tubes.
I get it for all the, which I know there are a lot of.
There are a lot of Jeffrey's tubes.
We well, this was interesting. In my distribution of cards, I had a boatload of spades, right? I had tons and tons of red shirts.
Yeah.
And they're all useless.
Yeah.
Because they're all low, right? I didn't get any of the face cards, so there's really nothing I could do there. Although, I guess since if I had ended with my 10, I could have been like in the end because my 10 would have been my last in my suit.
Right.
I got to remember that there's nothing magical about the face cards. It's the last one that you have.
Yeah. I think a flaw in this game is knowing when that's true is not something you can really be that good at, I feel.
Well, you know.
Well, you can know when it's going to happen before the game starts, right?
That is, I suppose. But I mean, like, in the moment when you're trying, because you're trying to come up with an interesting story. And I feel,
are you?
Well,
I don't know. They searched some Jeffrey's
tubes. I was trying to create a story justification to lay my spades down.
I got to count all my Jeffrey's tubes. Seven Jeffrey's tubes.
Seven
that seems
Jeffrey's
like too many.
Well, we had more in the story.
There was 10 in the story.
Yeah.
Seven. points of Jeffrey's. Why am I shuffling? You shuffle. I did it last time.
Steven, I did it the first time.
I did it the... Fine.
Steven already did it once.
I'm bad at shuffling.
Too late, I gave it to him.
And y'all, yeah. And also, y'all criticize the way I shuffle because I use the corners. And then you're like, you're going to ruin the cards.
No, I think that's fine because these cards are ridiculous.
They are.
I think actually you will ruin those because they're so stiff. Well, when you bend them, they will bend.
That. Well, maybe we'll stop using French cards. So I can know.
We'll let Steven shuffle.
It's like that,
I know.
That Shel Silverstein poem, which is like, if you have to wash the dishes, such an awful boring chore.
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly how it rhymes. So basically, the moral of the story is, if you don't like washing the dishes, drop one, break it, and they won't let you do it anymore.
Hey. That doesn't work when you live alone.
Because then you just have a bunch of stuff on the floor.
Exactly. It's really fascinating that, like, the actual topics that the suits are supposed to represent mm-hmm. makes it easier or harder, depending on how much you understand that. Because I had a harder time with this. I know, yeah. I've watched a lot of Star Trek.
Also,
I had
a
harder time with this.
I mean, that was my first observation as well.
Yeah.
We can't discount the fact that it was our second time playing.
It might
have been a little bit easier.
Well, let's choose a theme for our nouns this time around that's closer to Stephen's heart.
Like right.
Kirby related.
Uh-huh. Kirby.
No, what'll happen is if it's Kirby related, I will just say things and you'll be mad at me.
Yeah, I will. So okay, we shouldn't do that.
Steven, what's
I'll be like 12 Kirbys.
No!
12 more Kirbys.
No!
Okay.
You See? Can do Waddle Dees.
Okay, what should our nouns be?
Okay, if we're not going to do Kirby, because that's mean.
Seems too precious.
Why don't we just do like fruits or something?
Okay. Plantains. We were just talking about plantains.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about plantains. Plantains.
Plantains. And apples.
Apples, yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make an entire new list down here.
Cool.
Okay, so we've got plantains are going to be spades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And apples are going to be hearts, because that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're shaped like hearts.
Yep. And we're going to make clubs giant blueberries, because they're kind of blobby like a blueberry.
Yep, okay.
This is actually going to help a lot. Some visual connection.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
But, it's another piece of evidence that having these themed decks would really help layers a lot.
Yeah.
Apples. What's a funky fruit?
Honestly, what would really be good for a thing like this is not just
oranges?
Theme decks, but like,
tangerine.
Again, moving past the 52 card
yeah.
poker deck, having cards be very specific about the kinds of story elements.
I right? dealt the first time.
Like,
anyway. Sorry.
So, a card could be like, a betrayal or something. And that would be in your hand. And it would have a value of number category or something.
Yeah.
So those categories don't necessarily have to relate to the story you tell. Each card could be unique. That would also help people who are maybe not as interested, or maybe it's not as easy for them to engage in an improvisational game, is to have a lot more on the card available to them. And then for people who are interested and feel very versed in doing improvisational games, it wouldn't be so constraining. It would give them a box to play in.
That reminds me of the role-playing game called Weave,
yeah.
which the card deck that you have which is this for me?
Yeah.
Thank you. The card deck that you have is based on tarot.
Uh-huh.
And then you use an app to like set your setting and then like read the cards as they get dealt, and that helps you shape the plot. So like a lot of the card deck and the app together take a lot of the effort off of, what's happening in game mastering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Do y'all have 13 cards? Please confirm.
Let me double check.
Because I don't know if I did it right.
I have 12.
Yeah, I didn't count right.
You got closer than I did. Okay, so we've got spades are plantains.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And hearts are apples.
Yeah, it is kind of hard to keep track of like what suit represents what. And we keep switching, to be fair.
Yeah.
So I was shopping and I was going to get two apples.
No, we're not ready yet.
We're not restats.
No, I like this. I like the hexagon.
Sorting.
This is
fun. Oh, you're still sorting?
Oh, I wanted to just
All right,
go on.
Then
for
I'm it. I'll just kit this.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's on.
And it was two apples, but I'm like, I probably need more than two apples, right?
I noticed that three of the apples in that bunch were spoiled, and I was like, oh, Mark, no, maybe you shouldn't get these. They seem bad. I instead suggest that you buy some plantains. They're great and they're nice to fry.
And maybe
four of them.
No, sorry. It actually wasn't tangerines. It really was those plantains.
I put the plantains back in and put six tangerines in for you taking those tangerines out.
Wait, you can only interrupt me with a five. And with a token, by the way.
Oh. No, I was just moving things on. I'm like, I don't care.
So I was like, Steven, how many should I get? Five?
Wait. Time out.
Yeah.
Since when were we waiting for others to finish what they were doing before we start playing?
Okay.
I thought that was what we were doing this time around.
But you have to place an interrupt token to interrupt.
Only if I'm using the same number.
That's. I mean, that's a.
But
fair
you can just
criticism.
You can just interrupt any way you want, just to put down cards.
I guess.
that's what Ellen's saying.
Ellen is not comfortable backing this opinion.
I noticed there are six giant blueberries that make me think of the number six, and I'm like, get six plantains. That's cheating, but I don't care.
Causing a giant fight in the grocery store.
Shoot, I should have paid attention to what I had.
So I get those six plantains and I head off to the you know, to buy them.
Yes.
But there's like seven people in front of me and I'm like, this is gonna take way too long. Can I just like put these in my jacket and leave with them?
Wait, Pat, you didn't use anything about blueberries with this.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Because I'm carrying my blueberries to the thing.
You didn't mention blueberries when you laid this down, which means you lose an interrupt token.
Okay, I guess.
And y'all say I'm the competitive one.
But the card is still valid because it's the only thing.
Card is
still okay,
valid.
Card's also still valid. All right.
And the story is still valid.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You finally get to the front of the line and your eight blueberry or your giant blueberries cost $8.
No, sorry, that's not what happened. In the end, I got eight plantains and everything was fine.
Oh, nice.
As you were leaving the store.
Sorry, that was in the end.
Oh shoot.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Fine. I don't like that.
Yeah, not no. I mean, that's the thing is I mean, we did the same thing. We stacked all the cards again.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Part of me was just like, I need control over this. Like, I can end the story now. I guess I will.
Yeah.
I don't know if that benefited me or not. Mm. I just went
well,
for
you
it.
Get points.
Oh, so, well, there's that, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of tricky is that the only person who gets points in a round, this is why there are so many rounds, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the person who lays the last one. So you're kind of motivated just to do it regardless of if it's a good idea or not. I don't know if I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how to. I mean, it could be that the. Like that person gets points, but other people get points based on some other metric, and then that way it might be a bad idea to end it.
Right,
it might be bad for you.
Yes,
but then knowing when that is a whole
right,
other thing.
Right. It's. I think the thing that's tough for me right now is a lot of that story was just like, no, you're not buying blueberries, you're buying plantains.
Yeah, it's once again, we just chose four things.
We've got way too many interrupt tokens. If there's just one interrupt token, then you couldn't be blocking me every chance you get.
I do kind of like, if it was one per round or three per game,
yeah,
I think that would make them a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
And it may have been their intent, but we just don't know because we haven't read them.
Right, right. Ones. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, but also I think six rounds is actually kind of a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of rounds.
Because we did three, and I feel like we've exhausted it a little bit. Mm. Especially because we changed the topics for each one. You're always going to do that.
Yeah,
That's a good point. Yeah, I wonder if it'd be easier as you go through the rounds if you are sticking to the same subjects from round to round. Mm-hmm. It becomes easier to tell stories with that because you have a little bit more to reference.
But yeah, I mean, actually, I like the idea of like continuing the story from round to round.
Yeah. So those fighters that got kidnapped by the King of Thieves.
Yeah. You know, forcing you to use the number in your piece is really interesting.
Uh-huh.
And having it ascend like that is kind of, I mean, it's a weird way to tell a story, but I think it works.
Mm. Yeah.
But I wonder if forcing you to tell a type of story, a type of thing based on a suit. I wonder if that is too constraining.
I mean, I think we were kind of creative with how we were going about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we swapped topics so with these three pretty, and they're quite different from one another, right?
Yeah.
I think that like we could make it more broad or less broad, and that might change how this plays a bit. So like, for instance, instead of us like making it fruits as each of the different suits, it could be like genres, like maybe ones like Western and sci-fi and superhero. I don't know what other genres are there.
You start romance. You start by you know, dealing out four cards. Someone draws one, and that suit is what genre you're in.
Yeah,
and then you do another one, and that's how many. I don't know. You
can narrow it down. Who's the protagonist?
Right, right.
Yeah,
we actually had the same conversation when we were making Reravel.
Yeah.
How do we constrain players based on genre, topic, or protagonist so that they don't just spin out in random directions, or is that boring?
Yeah.
So that's really, these kinds of storytelling games are really difficult. Mm-hmm. And making this sort of like real time, anyone can do anything, has an energy that's so cool.
Yeah.
But it also puts a lot of demands on the mechanics to be sound, because it can be really easy to get sour about it.
Yes.
Like we did at least once in every time we played.
Yeah. I mean, like, I thought I was, my narrative brain was like, I didn't get to do anything.
That's true. It sort of rewards the player who games the mechanics, and the more you think, you know, this would be an interesting thing to say next, mm-hmm. that takes longer to come up with, right. And then you get a little bit punished.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was all amped to have.
Like, I ended that story with, I just had eight and left, and like that, I didn't feel the need to make it interesting.
And I was all queued up to throw apples at your head, 9 of them, in fact.
Right, which is a much more interesting story.
Right, it is. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, this has improv, but it doesn't have yes and. Like, you're supposed to have an improv.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah. The interrupts are interesting because mm-hmm. they provide a counter to yes and.
And I think that's fine.
Which I like a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. It doesn't encourage yes and. It only has an exception to it.
Yeah. 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 This is fun, though.
Yeah.
I wonder if you change them to yes and tokens.
Well, I mean, then you have to continue it, but, like, you just put more eights down.
You're already supposed to continue it.
Yeah. No, I think the default mode should be yes and. Mm-hmm. The interrupt should be the exception to it, mm-hmm. which makes them, like, be a big event on the table.
Which is, yeah, I think you had mentioned at the end, like, one per round or three per game.
Yeah.
I mean, one change I would like to see is that, like, you can't, if you interrupt, you can't end the story with an interrupt.
Did I do that?
You did.
Okay. That would be a good
one. Oh, yeah, that is kind of like, playtime's over, I win.
Yeah.
Right, yeah,
No, I like that a lot. Mm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
We don't have apples here, but we do have giant blueberries, so yes. I might still throw them at your head.
Cool. I'll be looking forward to that. Hey, that's our show, our 250th. For show notes and links on today's topics, go to our website, nicegames.club. Visit us on Twitter at nicegamesclub, where Dale tweets about game dev resources and Snowfall. It's nicer than it sounds. We like hearing from you, so tweet back or email us, contact@nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things a little more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. Next week, we'll be looking at wikis and guides and creating milestone builds. But that's it for this week. So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.